Welcome to the Two Wealth Show, a show that shares how you can create real wealth for you and your family. I'm one of your hosts, Justin Bogard, and my co-host is Elizabeth Sickles, aka Super E. I am a real estate note investor, specializing in performing residential real estate debt. I find the deals, acquire them for my own portfolio, as well as educate investors while walking them through the process of owning a real estate note. My co-host Super E, a real estate investor, specializing in short-term rentals and the management of them. She connects investors with short-term tenants and manages everything in between. Our show is sponsored by BrightPath Notes and Elizabeth Mayora. You can find out more information by visiting our websites at brightpathnotes.com and elizabethmayora.com. Hey, everybody, this is Justin Bogard from BrightPath Notes, co-host on the Two Wealth Show. It's episode 14. So What do you think about that, Elizabeth?
I'm excited. And I am Elizabeth with Elizabeth Mayora. Very happy to be here. And I want to mention that our show is, or this episode is sponsored by Integrative Health Solutions. So they are passionate about your health and wellness and know that you want to enjoy a vibrant and pain-free active lifestyle. But when you are in pain, this almost seems impossible. So in order to be pain-free, have more fluidity, and enjoy an optimal level of functionality, you need a personalized yet integrated, research-based, clinically proven approach. And that's what they do at Integrated Health Solutions. So you can visit them at ihsindy.com. or cryotherapyindy.com. And Dr. Schrobel and his staff is absolutely fantastic.
Absolutely. They are top notch. I love it every time I get to go in there, get adjustment, do acupuncture. Couldn't speak more highly of them. So if you're in the Indianapolis area looking for a chiropractor, an acupuncturist, if that's the name, check them out for sure.
And I get to do cryotherapy this week. So I'm excited for the first time.
Yeah, you get to be frozen and thawed out.
That's right.
It's fun. It's a neat experience. Your blood and everything just rushes right when you get done with it. It's pretty cool. So Elizabeth, today I thought we could discuss kind of optimizing your business and looking at the numbers and just kind of understanding, you know, whether you have one to two properties or whether you have a portfolio of several hundred properties or if you're managing things or if you're in a note business. All in all, in this game, we got to know the numbers, right? Because if we aren't making money, we're losing money, right?
That's right.
Right. So, and also I wanted to give a shout out to you and myself. We got over 250 downloads right now.
Thanks, everybody. Woohoo!
Yeah, appreciate thank you very much. Listeners. Absolutely. Thanks for watching this show when you watch to it, and thanks for listening. So that's just the listening part. That's just the podcast downloads that we have. So pretty cool.
Yes, it is. Thanks all right, again.
All right, Super E. Woo-hoo. Let's talk about some stuff that you actually learned recently. You were just telling me about it before the show.
Yes. So I have hired a consultant. So they help with getting your businesses, whatever you need help in, they help with. So I was on a conference call and what they're talking about, you know, we're just after, so this is August, we're just after mid-year, which is July. And it's what are your numbers? What's your KPI? That's key performance indicator. So what's great about this is it doesn't matter what your business is. And just like Dustin said, whether you're brand new or you're an avid investor, these are great things to know and to be able to measure yourself against. So what are your goals? Where are you trending this year?
Absolutely. So KPIs. So in your business, Elizabeth, KPIs are measured probably in several different factors because you're managing things. You have different vendors you're using on each property to keep track of things. You're also having income coming in. You're having a lot of expenses going out. There's a lot of taxes that need to be paid and things like that. So your numbers, you need to be dialed in, I'm sure, in your business more than anything because you have a lot of moving parts in incoming and outgoing and all this flow. So how do you keep it all together? What's one of the tricks that you use to help you understand at the end of the day, did you make money?
Sure. So one of the things is now what I have done is once a month I call it Financial Friday. So it's where I go through and look at every, absolutely everything. So where is my money going out? Where's my money coming in? What money am I making, right? Who's costing me the most? Who's making me the most money? What properties, all that type of stuff. So I would encourage you to definitely block that time out, turn your phone off, and just focus on your finances. And make sure too that even if you have an accountant or a CPA that's doing your books, a bookkeeper, which I do, but I always look over the credit card statements every month. I mean, we buy so much stuff. But just last month, because I actually did my financial stuff on Saturday instead of Financial Friday, but one of my vendors charged me 3 times. This is a normal vendor that I use. So it's so important just to do that quick. And it literally took me not even a minute just to scan through real quick. Okay, yep, all that looks correct. But not 3 charges.
That's funny you mentioned about credit cards, because that just jogged something in my mind recently that happened, is that my credit card got hacked for the company.
Whoa. Okay.
So because our financial overlook is on a monthly basis. We don't have a lot of outgoing costs per se as you do. We have a lot of incoming money, profit, you know, but when I do look on my credit card every single day, I do look at the bank, you know, statements every single day just to check on that, because it does happen and it can't happen. And actually our bank card, our checking account actually got hacked into as well. I don't know if they got hacked into, but we had these just anomaly charges that just showed up, and it's just really odd. They weren't large amounts of money, but they were just small amounts. So on the credit card, I saw things from like California, like at a restaurant or like a Costco gas station and stuff. And so that was my red flag. And because I have a Capital One card, it was pretty easy to contact them and let them know that that wasn't me. And they just immediately shut off the card. They sent out a new one, and they have some sort of features built into them to where a lot of the major vendors that we use, they were able to have my old card, and then my new card was automatically put into their system somehow. And so they were able to continue my monthly reoccurring charges that happen on some of the big vendors that we use across the country, which was kind of neat. And then also what I learned, Elizabeth, is that because that happened, we found out that Capital One specifically, because we're using them, they have these virtual cards now that you can dedicate for certain merchants that you use. Mm-hmm. So if that virtual card got hacked or got exposed somehow, you could immediately get rid of it, and they would just give you a new virtual card number. So everything links to your actual real credit card, mm-hmm. but then they have these virtual card numbers. And I said, that's a really good idea, because then you can have a different virtual number for every merchant you use, theoretically. Or I guess you can use the same one, but then it would just turn off and on. So that way your actual real credit card, you wouldn't have to replace, because they wouldn't have that information, right?
Right.
And so if you just use it like to swipe at a gas station or like at a store, that's the only time your credit card would be, you know, potentially be compromised.
Wow.
I had to throw that in there because it happened recently and just want people to look out for. So if you're looking at your credit card statements every day, or your credit card, you know, whatever your transaction list is, if you look on, well, most people can see them online, or even your bank card or your checking account, you know, check that stuff over almost daily to find those anomalies. It's easier to spot them. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, absolutely. And sometimes, you know, you might be thinking, especially if you're a new investor and you hear, oh, well, I'm supposed to have my team together, and shouldn't my bookkeeper look at that, or my accountant? Or even if you are a seasoned investor, I have a very good friend of mine who has a $10 million business. She's all self-made, and she is the only one that does her finances. So nobody's going to look after your finances like you are.
Yeah.
So just set that time aside.
Yeah. So that brings up a good point. So a lot of people talk about how they have a bookkeeper, because we have a bookkeeper for our business. I know you do for yours, and you have a CPA as well. And we have a CPA, and that ours is the same company that does both of those. And just because you send your books or your stuff to somebody doesn't mean you still shouldn't look it over before you send it to them. So what we do is we look over our statements, like we talk about daily, just because there's not a lot of transactions to look through. It takes like, you know, 5 or 10 minutes to look at all the different statements that we have or transactions that we have like on a daily basis. So then we can see any of those anomalies. And then we know that when we print out our statements at the end of the month and we hand them to the bookkeeper so that they align all the stuff and put them in what we use, QuickBooks, that it's just easy to catch things or to maybe give an explanation as to this weird transaction or this flow of money came from here and went to there, and this is what happened. So then they can break it apart and make sure that they're doing your expenses and your income correctly, because you don't want to miscategorize something to where it costs you more in taxes, as opposed to you can make your tax liability lower, which is always the reason why you have a professional look at stuff and dive into it, because you know we don't know all the ways we can take advantage of tax liabilities and expenses. So,
yes. When I heard someone that has their own business as well, that this person, she said, "Oh, well, I do my own taxes with TurboTax." I'm like, don't do that. It's fine if your personal taxes are easy, yeah. But if you have a business, man, pay that person to do it, because they know, and especially with how the tax laws are changing so quickly for businesses, they're going to save you. So therefore make you way more money than what, than just doing it on your own. So yeah,
absolutely. Absolutely. Yes. It's a few $100. It seems like to get a program or a subscription or whatnot, and to hire a bookkeeper or a CPA to go through it for the year. It's well worth it, because they can save you definitely more than the amount of money that you spend on that. So that's a recommendation, but don't just think you're just handing it off to them and they figure it out, because they're not going to know what to do specifically in certain situations, because they're not the ones that are charging things or seeing income coming in, and they just look at numbers and they balance it out. So at the end of the month, Elizabeth, we go over cash flow statements, we go over profit loss statements, and we go over a different general ledger, I think, as well, and look at the numbers in different directions. So we don't have like a KPI sheet, so to speak, but we do look at the numbers a couple of different ways, and we do it on a monthly basis. And we look back 1 year from this month and say, what was the comparisons to the year before? And then obviously as a cumulative year, we go from January to now, and then we say, what did that look like this time? And what did that look like in 2019? And we just figure out what we're doing, how we're moving forward, because we start pulling salaries now. So because of one of our corporations, we have an S corporation now. And so that's one of the ways that we figure out what we want our base salaries to be, is based on our cash flow and our profit as we're making it cumulatively through the year. So we know we can sustain a certain base salary for whoever needs it. Right.
Absolutely. And, you know, and while we're in this mid-year, we're in August now. The other thing that's really important to look at is, okay, even if you don't exactly know what's going on in your with your numbers, maybe you're just getting all this together and stuff. But yeah. The other thing is where do you need to pivot? So for example, for me, I've added on a whole new segment on my business, and we're doing cleaning now for the short-term rentals, for residential, and for commercial as well. So you don't have to just say, hey, I'm just doing X. You can expand that. So where, you know, and even with Justin, right? Like where's money that you're leaving on the table? Cause you have all this knowledge. So there's still so much money out there. There's a lot of people hurting, but there's a lot of people that still have a lot of extra income coming in.
Absolutely. Absolutely. So what other factors can we help optimize our businesses, or help our listeners or viewers optimize their business?
I think and one thing as well is if any of you all are doing social media, it's looking at what are the trending hashtags. And also if you're going to, for us, we go down a couple of different paths because of EM University, but then we have clients and we have guests and now we have cleaning, you know, so with the posts, we're very diligent on, okay, this type of post, depending on who we're going after, these are the hashtags that we use. So we have five different sets of hashtags that we use depending on the post.
That's awesome. I'm glad you pointed that out, because it's so funny that before social media really hit its greatest stride, I don't know how many years ago that was, but before that, traditionally what people would do for marketing is like, either if they're big companies, they'll be doing TV ads, they'll be doing radio ads, or they'll be doing very large physical mailing campaigns, or even email campaigns. And it's like, at the end of the day, social media is free, but it's cost a lot of money to generate good social media stuff. You brought up hashtags, which are a great way to get into people's feeds. I don't know if it's a SEO marketing, but it's more like geofencing SEO marketing.
And so SEO, you want to tell our listeners what that stands for?
Oh, sorry. Search engine optimization. And so that's a way now that we realize people are on their phones a heck of a lot more, or on a mobile device or on a computer way more than they were before the pandemic. So now that the pandemic's going on and most people are either quarantined or more quarantined than when they were before, after March happened. So that's what you need to focus on and take advantage of in your marketing stream. It's great if you send out mail. It still works. It's an old school way to do marketing, but with emails and with Facebook and with Instagram and LinkedIn for business people, those are the main channels which you have to get to reach an audience that otherwise wouldn't see you. And it's free, that part, but generating it and spending the time doing it is very time consuming, but it's well worth it because that's how we get to people the quickest. And that's how we get to people with the most reach, because once somebody likes it or comments on it, it's organic and it goes out beyond that. So because you send a piece of mail to somebody and hit their mailbox, you know, how many other people are going to see that? Just the people in that household, right? But what's cool about this technology and geofencing and SEO marketing, by the way, geofencing is just, for example, on Facebook, if you do an ad on Facebook and you want to advertise something that people would want after they go see, an event that would happen at an arena, like let's just say Disney on Ice. I know we're not doing that right now, but Disney on Ice will be a very popular thing for families to go to. And then after they leave the venue, you would put a geo fence, like an invisible fence around that area. And anybody that had Facebook or opened it up would see your advertisement. So if you wanted to advertise to them, that'd be a great way to do it. And at a certain time as well, when the show ended. So it's just really interesting and fascinating how technology has changed the way we can do digital marketing, really.
Absolutely. And even if your head is kind of exploding because you don't know any of this stuff, it's okay. You just get started. I mean, even like when I first started the business, I would just take pictures and put it on Instagram, and mm-hmm. it linked to my Facebook Elizabeth Mayora page. So, you know, you don't have to be an expert in all this. And as your business grows and as you find out in real estate what you really love to do, then you can really hone in on that. But the biggest thing is to just get started. Don't wait.
Exactly. And it is overwhelming, and you're not alone, because every entrepreneur or small business person that does this stuff, they're just like, I don't know what to do. And the first thing to do is they try to find the experts who do it. And that's what you do. Just like for your bookkeeping and your accounting, you shouldn't be trying to do your accounting yourself. You should have a professional person do it, like a CPA. I don't know if tax attorneys do that, but tax attorneys are people you want to have in your wheelhouse, so to speak, so that you can go to them when you have problems. Because I know I've been audited before when I first started, and it's good to have a CPA or tax attorney that can help navigate you through, like, oh, that's not really a problem. They just didn't categorize this right when you sent in your taxes. And the IRS is like, oh, okay, that makes sense. You know, so it could be as simple as that. But yeah, at the end of the day, your accounting and your marketing are two major pieces of the puzzle for especially real estate businesses like Elizabeth and mine, to where that's probably the bulk of my expenses is what I go to have somebody else manage for me, because it can be very time consuming. But if you have somebody else do it that's an expert in it makes you look like you're a 10-story building pretty quickly, and you get a return on your investment pretty quickly. At least I think so.
Mm-hmm. Yes, absolutely. You know, so questions to be thinking about and asking yourself is where do I want to be right now, but where am I actually, and what do I need to do to get to where I want to be? And even despite through this pandemic and everything that's going on, again, there's always opportunity. There's always ways to make money. Even if you're driving for DoorDash, if you're doing something like that, there's ways to use that money and help that to get you into the real estate business if you're not in real estate yet, because all those dollars add up for sure.
Yeah. And always be networking. Somebody asks you what you do, you definitely better come up with a 10-second pitch or a 60-second pitch or whatever, how long you have to talk.
That's
be ready for it. Because I learned that quickly when I was in the business, and I started trying to explain what I do, and I would explain it in a way that people that aren't in real estate wouldn't understand. I'm just thinking like, man, what am I doing? Like, it doesn't make any sense to talk to somebody in a different language, right? You need to talk to them in their language. So you need to figure out what you do, what you specialize in, what, how you can solve somebody's problem. And that is your elevator pitch. So
that, yes, absolutely.
Yeah. We covered a lot of topics. We kind of got off track a little bit, but I think we brought it back together at the end.
So that's right.
At the end of the day, we have to optimize our businesses. And Elizabeth, I'm sure you agree with me, but it's ever changing, isn't it? You always have to figure out what's the direction marketing is going, what are people liking to receive, and how can you put that in front of them and make you stand out, make you stand out in front of your competition, right? Mm-hmm.
That's right. That's exactly right. Because people need to spend money and they want to spend money. They're going to spend it with somebody. So it might as well be you.
Yeah. Yeah. Might as well be you.
To wealth, right?
To wealth. Hear, hear. So Elizabeth, this is episode number 14,
woohoo!
Optimizing your business. We got over 250 downloads. That's amazing. And, I just really appreciate everyone that listens to our podcast and watches us on our YouTube channel. So, and also don't forget to check out our YouTube channel to watch this episode, episode number 14, Bright Path Notes YouTube channel, or Elizabeth Mayora's YouTube channel as well. So I'm Justin Bogard from Bright Path Notes.
And Elizabeth with Elizabeth Mayora.
All right. Until next time, guys. See ya.
Thank you.
The Two Wealth Show is produced by Justin Bogard and Super E, sponsored by Bright Path Notes and Elizabeth Mayora. Thanks for listening and watching for our show.